Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
I'm going to give you my word for the year. We have been seeking the Lord for over a decade for the word that he'd have for us as a church. And then several years ago, my wife inspired me and our family and then our church to seek God every year for a word, for one word. And not that God just gives one, but if you get one, then you can get two and three. I thought as I'm about to enter my 50th year of life, and having had one of the most challenging years of my life in 2022, which I try to forget about, and just remember all the amazing things that he's done, because he did amazing things, I thought the word would be renewed, right? Like, man, Lord, renew me, you know, for the next 50 years of my life. I mean, this year, let's renew. And I was pretty passionate. I was sharing that in December, and then my wife preached last Sunday. And if you didn't get that message, you need to get it. It's online. You need to listen to it. It will change your life. Very important, even for this year. But the Holy Spirit just said, hey, you thought your word was renew. You will be renewed, but your word is inspire. And it's something that I've not fully embraced as part of my calling. Part of my calling and gift God's given me is to inspire people. You know, and I think, you know, sometimes that maybe marginalized it because, oh, you're a motivational speaker, and yet we all need motivation. We all need a motivational speaker. Now, here's the deal: if you're a Christian, you have a built-in motivational speaker living inside of you. His name is the Holy Spirit, okay? He is the greatest motivational speaker that you could ever have. And he's living inside, and he's always ready to motivate you. And so that's what being inspired is. It's about being motivated and being empowered to do. And so I'm going to give you the definition of my word. I've entitled my message in our series, Miracles. I've entitled it Inspired. And so listen to this definition. As I was looking it up last week as my wife was preaching, and I have the gift to be able to do many things at the same time. Some of you don't, so keep your phone down. Don't worry about the football game. All right, so inspired is to be aroused, animated, saturated, permeated with the spirit to do something, or by or as if by supernatural or divine influence. See, inspire comes from the Latin word that means to inflame, to blow into. When you inspire something, it is as if you are blowing air over a low flame to make it grow. That's my word. And it's a word I'm not going to let go of because it's a part of my calling. And I'm willing to share that word with you because we all need to be inspired. I don't know about you. Has anybody thought, like, I want to be healthier this year? Amen. Anybody else go, like, I want to be healthier. I want more. Anybody think, I want some change? Right? I want some. Well, you know, most of the world enters January going, I want something changed in my life. Okay, over 90% of the world is passionate about changing something in their life this year. And over 90% will have failed at it by February 1st. Why? Because they stopped being inspired to change. They were inspired to make a commitment, even a declaration. This is what I want to change. I want to lose this weight. I want to break this habit. I want this. I want to. And they were inspired. But you need to be inspired day after day after day after day until it becomes a habit. And until it becomes a habit, you're going to need inspiration. Once it becomes a habit, it's just like second nature. It's just like, I don't even need inspiration. I just naturally do it. It's just, I wake up and I do it. But until then, you need inspiration. And those really, really, really hard things need a lot of inspiration. It's like the space shuttle trying to escape the atmosphere. It needs some rocket boosters. And man, church, Bethel is a place, and I'm declaring it as a place to come be inspired. Come get some rocket fuel, okay? And that's what I want to be known for. Many, many other things, but for sure that. Like, I'm going, I can't wait, because I got to get me some of that today, right? Like, that's the attitude. I want you walking in those doors, like we do in the South, right? And go, I got to get me some of that, right? And get your little groove on, your little walk. I'm like, walk across, in there going, I'm about to get me some of that today, Pastor Mike. I'm coming expecting to be inspired. Amen? I mean, I'm a great preacher now, but if I have hundreds of people coming in here with expectation, okay, that they're fixing to get inspired, man, we're going to blow the roof off this place. And that's what's going to happen tonight. So don't miss tonight, worship night, where we're going to be laying hands on people. People are going to receive the fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Prophecies. Already the Lord has spoken to me. People are going to be called up here and prayed for, laid hands on, and the power of God is going to be released. Prophetic words or miracles are going to happen. It's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss it. Amen. All right, so there's the word inspired. So you ready? Say, I'm ready to be inspired. So turn to Acts chapter 8, because the word of God is living and active and has the power to inspire you. Amen? Amen. So Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he had to say. With shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. You have to tell somebody what you've done. You haven't done very much. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. And when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, and when they arrived, they prayed for new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that you may be forgiven in having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified, come on, testify about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We hope to make him more famous this year. Yes. Jesus, your name, you are the one we desire to make your name famous. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You are welcome at 1325 South Arizona Avenue. Amen. You are welcome in this place. Yes. You will always be welcome, yes, in this place. Yes. Prepare our hearts, open our eyes and our ears to receive from the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you weren't here last week, you didn't know, my wife wrote a journal. It's called My Testimony Journal, and it's available for you along with some awesome stickers because everybody loves stickers, okay? And so back next to the free fasting guide is a testimony journal that is only $10, and we would love you to grab one and begin to write testimonies down. Yes. To write them down, and so that you can remind yourself, so that you can inspire yourself by the testimony of what God did before, he'll do it again.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. And if you go, I don't know if I have one. Well, borrow somebody else's, okay? Okay?
Right.
Borrow somebody else's until you get one for yourself. Okay, now the truth is you got many, but maybe your eyes can't see them yet. So see somebody else's, write theirs down, and say this, God, if you did it for them, you'll do it for me, because you're not a respecter of persons. Amen? And so my wife shared how in the last 3 years and 2 months, she has written 364 testimonies. And last year, being one of the most difficult years for both Julie and I, she had developed this discipline of a testimony journal. She had been keeping a testimony journal for 3 years and 2 months. So this thing was built in. It was natural. She didn't even need much inspiration to do it because it was already a developed habit in her life. But if it hadn't been, going through last year, she would probably not have remembered many of the miracles that God had done because of all the difficult things that had happened. But because she had that discipline, had been established in her life, she had over 103 testimonies during the most difficult year of her life. Church, God is always moving. In fact, many times in those most difficult moments are some of the greatest miracles. But if we don't write them down, we may not remember them. So grab one of these on your way out and begin.
Yes.
My goal is to have 365 entries.
I love it.
They might not all happen, okay, on every day. If I miss one, that's okay. I can make two. And if I have to reach back into 2022 or 2021 to find one,
right,
there's always testimonies every single day.
Yes.
And so Begin to write them down and then go back and reread them again to inspire yourself to believe if God did it before, he'll do it again. Why am I so worried? Why am I so anxious? Okay, if you start reading about, like, this is nothing compared to what he did before, right? We all need inspiration. If you're going to develop disciplines and become all that God's called you to be, it's going to take inspiration of a supernatural kind. Yes. Amen? Amen? And testimonies, and the testimonies about Jesus and what has happened in the name of Jesus are the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
So prophesy. Amen.
So
a couple of testimony entries. This past week, I had the opportunity to go and take several of our college students and Pastor Tim and Brene as well to Orlando, where we had our North American Every Nation Campus Conference. So 2,500. Come on, Annie. She came. It was amazing. Her life got rocked and changed. She's a world changer. And so 2,500 college students set on fire for Jesus. Okay? Church, I don't know if you know this, but the campuses of our nation are lost. But instead of having an attitude like, oh, well, they're lost, let's just let them go, let us remember what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save the lost. If you're going to do what Jesus did, then you need to go to where the lost people are. And the more lost they are, the more glory when they're found comes. God, give us the hard cases. Give us the lost of the lost. And you can find them on the college campuses today. And that's where we're going, church. To the college campuses. Because there are future Pastor Lucas Kirklands there on the college campus waiting to be found. Amen. So I got to bring my daughters there. So testimony number one. My oldest daughter, as you know, and she'll be part of the worship team tonight. She's a pretty good singer. She's kind of anointed. And Julie and I's prayer for years is that every nation leadership would find her. That one day she would be leading at one of our conferences. It's been a prayer and a desire of our hearts for years. But I didn't want to use my relational equity to, or, you know, just be that dad or mom. There's cases, I've been that dad or mom. But in this case, I'm like, God, let her be found. I don't want to make calls and go, hey, man, can you get her on the worship team? You know, it's like, and God did it. So she got invited to be on the worship team. And what's even more amazing about that is that when she was in the birth canal, okay, my wife was doing amazing. It was my first birth, okay? And I was not doing as amazing as she was. And so I called Pastor Rice, and he was with Pastor Jim LaFoon. And they were at a prayer meeting, and they put me on speakerphone, and they began to pray for me. And Pastor Jim began to prophesy over Isabella while she's in the birth canal. And one of the things he prophesied was that she was going to be a prophetic songbird. 21 years later, she's walking in her calling and those words that were spoken. And then my second daughter, Olivia, who's flying back today and sitting in the third row, she's got the greatest heart. And on a mission trip to Mexico, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time and received gifts. But She didn't get her spiritual prayer language and that gift of tongues. And let me just say this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, Acts chapter 1, is the power, Jesus says, is the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit of God to be a witness. That's right. But we know Paul said to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And so God gave her some of the gifts during those times. And other times she would go, maybe this is the time God will give me my prayer language. But it was there at the conference during an altar call. She goes up and ladies, ministers came by. They laid hands on her and she received her prayer language for the first time. And the next day, then she answered the call, another call to go to the nations of the world. And so it's amazing. I mean, just a few testimonies already this year. And then you heard from Pastor Cruz, Mesa's making a proclamation. Glendale, Queen Creek has made one for the next week. Chandler, Paradise Valley. Continue to pray for all the cities in the valley to make proclamations not in our city. Amen. And you better hurry up. Make sure. Get on. notinourcity.org. Take the pledge. Not in our city, but get your ticket. It's free, but we have a capacity and we're going to hit it. And I would hate for any member of Bethel not to be able to get in. Okay. So you better sign up, get the free ticket there and reserve however many you want and need. But it is filling up and it's going to be incredible. We've got dozens of NFL football players and ministries are coming in. I'm meeting with the CEO of Untrafficked this week and many other ministries. It's incredible what God is doing. And as Pastor Cruz said, because of your giving, we have just been able to sow and do many of these things. And so thank you. But pray. Keep praying. Keep praying because this darkness must be driven out of this valley and all the cities in the world. Amen? Okay. So those are the few of the testimonies. So back to our scripture. Inspired. Anybody inspired yet? Anybody feeling inspired? John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus, before he went to the cross, said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son of Man can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Then verse 15, in this context, if you love me, and I think it would be better translated, when you love me, you'll obey my commands. Love God first, then obey him. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. The greatest motivational speaker lives inside of you if you're a believer. His name is the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. All truth of who you are. You know, the Holy Spirit is convicting you to believe who you really are, to see who you really are, who God called you to be, who your heavenly Father has called you to be. This is his job. This is his responsibility to bring this revelation and inspire you, to infuse you with power, to permeate you. Rivers of living water, the Bible says. He is inside of you to burst out. The psalm, your cup will overflow by the Holy Spirit. He's the inspirer who will lead you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So let me break this down. The last words of Jesus before he's crucified involve him talking about, hey guys, it's actually better that I go so the Holy Spirit can come. Huh? Okay, that's one to ponder. Better for you not to be here so the Holy Spirit can be here. Then he says, you will do the same things I have done. And even greater things. Now I'm going to share with you what I think one maybe those greater things is in a second. But this is the heart of God, and this is the call for us as believers. And then in this context, he says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And this Holy Spirit who is with you will soon be, or later, will later be in you. Now, there was a moment here in Matthew chapter 9. Follow me over here for a second. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, or it'll be here on the screens. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing every disease and sickness. Let me tell you what's a part and accompanies the good news. Healing from sickness and disease. There's a lot of mental illness out there right now. Church, part of the good news is Jesus can heal that.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus wants to heal that.
Yes.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Then Matthew 10:1, Jesus called the disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So Jesus, while he's living on earth, called his disciples and in essence goes, hey guys, what you've seen me do, I'm about to send you to go do. And he prayed for them and probably, the scripture doesn't tell us, but probably lay hands on them. And they went out with authority and power. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they cast out devils and healed the sick. Yet, they haven't even been born again yet. They haven't even had all of their sins forgiven. And they're doing this. Then Jesus goes to the cross. He dies. The disciples scatter in fear. Jesus, on the third day, like he said he would, he rose again, conquering sin and death. Then he appeared to Mary and to Peter and then to a couple other disciples. And then he showed up while they were meeting in a locked door room because they were afraid. And he walked through the room because Jesus is more real than the wall. And he says, hey guys, it's me. Look. Look at the holes in my hands. My feet. It says they saw him and they believed. As they did, the scripture says, he breathed upon them. He inspired them. They were permeated. The deposit of the Holy Spirit came inside of them and they were born again. Church, we're starting a series today, Miracles. And the greatest miracle that will ever take place in anybody's life is this act of being born again. Of being inspired, being breathed into the Holy Spirit and becoming a new creation. Having your sins fully been forgiven, having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is the greatest and most important miracle we all need. But Jesus isn't done with that miracle. Not only does he want that miracle in your life, he wants that miracle in everybody's life. He wishes for none to perish, but all to come to know him. For those of you watching online and you stumbled across this, God loves you and he wants you to know him like he knows you. He wants you to be forgiven of your sins. Jesus died for you. And if you'll believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. You will be inspired. You will be filled and permeated with the Holy Spirit. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. Now this happens. They're born again. Jesus leads them to himself. Jesus gets them born again. But guess what Jesus didn't do? He didn't lay hands on them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now we go back to our story of Philip. Philip went down to Samaria. Why? Because they were under persecution in Jerusalem and they were scattered. And Philip goes down to Samaria and starts preaching the word. And guess what accompanied the preaching of the word? Signs and wonders. Church, when you preach the good news, God wants signs and wonders to accompany the preaching of that good news. That's what is to be accompanied. And you and I have the responsibility and the privilege of bringing good news, but we get to bring signs and wonders with that good news. Because signs and wonders help our eyes and ears to open to the message of the good news. This was the way of Jesus. This is how Jesus did it. I mean, come on, all of you got the "what would Jesus do" bracelet. Guess what Jesus would do? He'd bring signs and wonders with him. So it's time for us to bring signs and wonders with the preaching of the good news. And what did Jesus often do to bring those signs and wonders with him? Lay hands. Hebrews chapter 6, it's an elementary teaching of Christianity. The laying on of hands. You remember when Jesus is walking through the crowd, people are pressing in all around him, and all of a sudden he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples are like, "Everybody's touching you." "No, no, 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 no. Somebody touched me with faith." What are you talking about? Jesus said, "Virtue left me. Inspiration left me. It left me and touched the woman with the issue of blood." And guess what happened? Signs and wonders, healing power flowed. Church, that's the same power that lives inside of you and me, lives inside of all of those who believe. Are you inspired to break out of your comfort zone and to ask for permission? Can I lay hands on you? Can I pray for you? First ask, here's some strategy. First ask, "Hey, can I pray for you?" Don't lead with "lay hands on you," because, you know, you want to get yeses, okay? You want yes, and then, okay, so if you start with an easy, "Can I pray for you?" Very rarely will people say, "No, don't pray for me." Once you got them to say yes, go, "Would it be okay if I laid my hands on you?" I remember this story I heard years ago about a minister, a friend in England. He got radically saved and saw, I mean, was freed from a drug addiction, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he's in a pub in England, and there are all these guys, like punk rock guys, in this pub. And he goes in and he starts telling them about Jesus, and he had a little bit of a stutter, and they started mocking him. And so he didn't ask for permission to lay hands on them. And he didn't lay hands on them the way you think might have guys, okay? He went over and he laid hands on one of the guys that was the instigator, and he began to pray in the spirit over him. The guy jumped up from the seat after a moment and ran out. Now, what they were doing was they were inviting them to a meeting and to a church service, a special outreach. Well, later that week, that guy he had laid hands on was in the building. He came forward and still trembling, he said, "When you put your hand on me, I felt this power run through my body and it freaked me out. And I couldn't stop thinking about it since." Gave his life to Jesus. Church, can we just pause for a moment and go, if you're really born again, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and Jesus says, it's better that I go so the Holy Spirit can come, and he commissions us to go out and do what he did, and he says, you'll do what I did and even greater things. What if we were inspired to believe that we laid hands on somebody, the power and love of God would actually go through us into them?
Amen.
Would that not just make sense? Can we, I mean, literally, if, without your theological degrees to try to convince people that God doesn't still do this, would not this not make sense? If you just read the Bible without your university degree, okay, that says that miracles don't happen anymore and all that. If you just read the Bible as a common person, you just got to say, would you not come to the conclusion that your enlisted, commissioned to do what Jesus did? And did he not do signs and wonders? Was that not the mark of his ministry?
Yes.
Was that not what caused crowds to come? Yes. And again, well, what if I don't feel anything? You know, there's a lot of times when I'm praying for, I don't feel anything. But they're feeling something. There are other times I'm feeling everything and they don't feel anything. And there's times that I'm feeling something and they're feeling something and miracles. God doesn't need us to feel something. God just needs us to believe. He just needs us to believe. Church, Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.